Yeah.
Hi, thanks for calling.
You bet. We've got a quorum without you, barely. We got five.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, so, but we're gonna get rolling here.
Okay. Okay.
Diane, good morning.
Hi.
Hello, Diane.
Morning, guys. Thank you very much, and thank you, Lorraine, for letting me do this.
You look like you were on mute, though, for
a minute. Have good luck today.
Okay.
Okay, we're calling the meeting to order. Roll call.
Fuller.
Present.
Carter.
Here.
Alex. Jay.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
So we need approval of the agenda and addendum.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Is there any public participation? No. We need approval of the minutes for March 8, 2013.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Next thing is the county and township motor fuel tax claim for March 2013.
Motion approved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Then we're going to go into the county engineer's report.
All right, first item, number seven, resolution award of seal coat bids. You'll see right behind the resolution in your packet is the tabulation of bids from the 2013 bituminous materials bid. Lone bidder and low bidder, although we had three bidders take our proposals, we only received one bid. And this is typical because their plant is, you can smell it from here if you go outside. They're kind of hard to compete with since they're so local. But it's Ileana Construction gets the oil from Emulsicoat.
That's the one Nolan Lincoln.
Well, that's Ileana's out there, and Emulsicoat's right over here by the bus terminal.
Oh.
Where all the big tanks are back
yeah.
there. Yeah, behind Pards. You go to Pards, don't you?
Okay, we're going to go to
Pards.
Chris Alex came in.
But the bids are up about a nickel per gallon on average from last year, which is what we expected. They're actually below our engineer's estimate. But you'll see all the items there. They're just different oils that the townships use in order to seal coat and as well as to make cold mix patch and cold mix for their roadways. Actually, the county's got about 70,000 gallons in this bid tabulation this year due to do seal coat road on the county system as well. But 90% of it is township. And they've all accepted the bids on behalf of their townships by signing their sheets that go to IDOT. And this is basically, somebody has to award it, so we bring it to the county board to award it. So I'd ask for your approval of the resolution.
Been moved and second. It's open for discussion. Well, is the unit price on these changed at all?
About a nickel up from last year.
What was the price? Is it just the three?
Oh, the $2.34.
$2.34.
It's the major one. $2.34 a gallon.
So you're talking about 0.3.
Yeah, it's a pretty minimal
yeah.
increase. And that is furnished and spread on the road. So the contractor has it delivered to the site, puts it in its distributor, and squirts the oil on the road for that $2.34.
Yeah. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
Item number eight, Mr. Alex had asked me last meeting, I believe it was, about the interchange at 57 and I-74. So I've done some checking. I talked to the state safety engineer, Priscilla Tobias, over at Springfield. I think even that day after you had asked me that, and I sent out an email talking about that. But apparently my call got some conversations rolling, which is good, between Springfield. Priscilla had been kind of pushing District 5 to at least look at the interchange and see what was going on. District 5's response was, well, we did some concrete patching last year, and we put up, you know, the high yellow-green signs with the 30-mile-an-hour speed zones and the little trucks tipping over as you're driving on there. And they didn't really feel that there was, much more that they could do outside of rebuilding the entire interchange, which I can't remember what the number was, but it was $50, $60 million.
$10 million, at least.
It was huge. And that's actually in a phase one, which is kind of, okay, it's going to happen someday. So they got somebody that's doing the plans when they have time. It's not real serious about doing anything because, obviously, of the numbers. But what the District 5 Safety Committee at IDOT had a meeting last week, and they have worked with Priscilla in Springfield, and they're going to do a couple other remedial type of things on there. You know, those when you're driving through a school zone or you're driving through a work zone, they got the signs that flash your speed. They're going to install those. I think those will be very helpful to get the truck drivers down to the right speed. Because if you look at the crash, and I didn't make copies of this because it's kind of a chicken scratch deal that IDOT sent me, hardly any of the crashes are in the actual clover leaves. They're all on those outside ones where they kind of go back and forth. Yeah. And of this is 2007 to 2012, there have been 11 trucks overturned.
Wow.
Eight of them are going eastbound on 74 and then turning going southbound on 57. That's the big one where they're flipping over for some reason. Actually, there was just one in March where somebody turned over on that.
I'm not surprised by that number. It seemed like it's happening all the time, and I'm glad to get some confirmation that this wasn't I'd heard about it a couple of times and extrapolated.
So they're going to put up those, what they call speed indicator signs.
Quick up stupid sign? No.
Exactly. And I think that will help. They're also looking at, they've got some special surface course that they've been putting down in areas where they need more friction on the roadway. So they're looking at possibly doing that. They're not sure that that's actually going to help because they're not really seeing the trucks slide. They're more just they get a load shift is what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
They go around those curves, load shifts, and boom, they're on their side. But they may be looking at doing that as well. So if nothing, I think we got some reaction from them. They're going to do something out there. Hopefully that will help, you know.
Well, just the novelty of those speed signs may help. I mean,
right.
You don't usually see those on the interstate, so that day is...
right.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're coming
from... As Jim said, it may kind of be more of a wake-up.
They're coming from the west, and they've got more speed up, and then they're taking that curve.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a double back curve through there. And I think they've got it figured out, and then all of a sudden there's another one, and they probably already got their foot back in it, and boom, over they go. Because not many of them are happening as they're coming off of, you know, because they're coming off at a pretty good speed. They start to slow down, and then they think they can get back on it, and then everything goes to heck on them. So,
why them engineers hadn't picked that up?
Because they don't have $60 million.
That's a good reason.
But sometimes it just takes somebody like Chris to bring it up and have somebody like, you know, county engineer call him and say, this is a, you know, a local concern. And for, I don't know what these signs cost, they're probably going to end up spending $20,000, $30,000 to put those in, I don't know, and maintain them, you know. Hopefully we'll have
some. Well, that was bad engineer when they put it down.
Yes, it was. That was the design back, obviously, in 57, 74 were built.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Is that sort of like when they changed over there on Lincoln Avenue, was it Lincoln Avenue or Cunningham Avenue? They took that took one of them turns out over there.
Took the clover leaves out.
Did they?
Put in the straight ramps.
Okay.
Yeah, there used to be clover leaves at Neal and Lincoln, right?
No, at Cunningham.
I know Neal had clover leaves. I know Cunningham did.
Mm-hmm.
And they, when they redid 74, when was that?
Like
20 years ago?
Yeah.
They took those out and put in just those, yeah, those straight ramps.
But there you're coming into a stop condition, too. You're not trying to enter back onto another freeway.
Yeah, they kind of did that in
different
Spruce. You know, they did something then.
Right.
So we used had to go up to, what was that, Pony, and then go over to one, I think, run to go to Chicago during them days.
That's what Lorraine was pointing out. Those were those old, like, tight,
right,
tight clover leaves that they used to do, and they realized, you know.
And those, you know, there haven't been any real, there's been one truck turnover on one of the clover leaves of the 11. Hmm. You know, there was one on a clover leaf. The other ones were on these outside ramps that they built. Now, they obviously do have issue where one's entering and one's trying to get off. You know, there's that congestion point right there. There's been a number of minor accidents,
sure,
at those locations, and they realize that's a very bad idea as well. But and they think that, you know, there's one corner that they may not have enough right away when and if they ever get the money to redo that interchange. There's a parking lot that they would have to encroach on, but the rest of it, they say there's enough room out there to do the, you know, what would be the new design, whatever that is.
They'd be the money.
So.
All right, well, if they can do that for, like you said, $23,000, I mean, that's less than the property damage associated with one accident. So
right,
that seems like a pretty good bargain.
Yeah.
We're going to slow down in traffic for 4 hours.
Well, I know when I see those flashing at me, when you, you know, you hit a construction zone, you're supposed to be to 45, and you're a quarter mile away, and you're still at 50, and those things start flashing at you, it catches your attention.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Wakes you up anyway.
Yeah.
Might make him
think. Well, that's what they mean.
Yep.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate
your call.
So,
you bet.
Ask slow down. A lot of them don't.
Yeah. Call them next week. See if they'll replace the interchange for you.
Yeah.
Maybe they just that
way. We want an interchange out here at High Cross.
Yeah. Well, that
boy,
might, yeah,
they've been giving out a lot of fines in those work areas, the dudes keep flying through that.
Yep.
They'll be sitting out there and get you.
There's a lot of police out on the interstate lately, I noticed. My damn got me. All right. Next item.
Do we need to place this on file or what?
I didn't even hand this out because it's just kind of a chicken scratch deal that IDOT sent me. So there's nothing. It was just a report for information purposes. I can scan this and send it to everybody. I will do that. I've written all over it, but I'll do that so that you guys got it. You know where the crashes were and so forth. As a matter of fact, Coop, can you run and make a quick copy of this, bud? We can give it to everybody. That's enough. I'll email it later. All right, so, and they actually sent me all the crash reports, too. So that was kind of nice, so we have those.
Yeah, send them over here.
They're interesting to read.
A man of detail.
The good detail is back in the, you know, where they write it out. It's kind of hard to tell from the other stuff.
Slide it over there to Chris.
Pavement management system update. As you guys know, we've got a contract with Applied Research Associates, at least the folks that have been on the board for a while. I don't know if Jim's probably never even heard about this, but we have a company that, and maybe Max too, we've got a company that by every other year goes out, drives 100% of the county roads, does filming of them, videos, assesses the pavement condition index of the roadways, which helps us keep up on our maintenance, make sure we're doing the right treatment on the right road at the right time, make sure you know, we don't miss anything, that we're keeping a rolling 5-year program going out of this, and we can see that, you know, if there's a road, there's a project out 3 or 4 years, and all of a sudden they do this pavement management and assessment, and there's a road that's obviously deteriorating quickly. You know, we can kind of move things around, but it's been a very good tool for us. And this was the off year where they actually don't drive the roads, but we do update the data every year based on some curves and some observations that we've made throughout the last 5 years of doing this pavement management system. And I just wanted to go over a couple of highlights of this pavement management report that they sent out to me. Page 3, you know, where we talk about the pavement condition, and this is basically what they do is, what's that? You should be in your packet. Yeah.
Oh, I read it all.
Oh, you read it? Okay.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep everything at around a 70 as a PCI, which equates to, you know, good road condition on average. 60 to 80 is the range for like a good road. We try to keep it in the middle of that at 70. Right now, based on the last assessment, we're at 69. So we're staying right at that 70 level, which is kind of our goal. It's one of our things that we put in. What do they call those? That you guys implemented with the budgets.
Plan.
Yeah, when we do our, when we have our, I can't remember what the word is. Something that Deb uses, but whatever. Anyway, it escapes me right now. But our, you can see on the next page 4, that's a map of all the county highways colored with the PCI values of the different roads across the county. Obviously, red is the worst, and then orange, yellow, green, blue. Just to kind of highlight where we're going here in the next 5 years, County Road 22, which is up in the northeast part of the county, that is to be reconstructed this summer, so we'll get that red road out of the red condition. Hopefully, get it up to a blue. County Road 1, you'll see the Dewey Fisher Road there coming north Mattis out of Champaign. That's projected to be done next year. That's an orange color. And then County Road 23, which is the Dewey Elliott Road, we're looking at doing that in 2015. So we are. We're kind of on a pace here, hopefully, to get those roads out of the orange and red values. But obviously, there's some roads that are yellow right now that'll probably turn into orange. So we're just trying to keep ahead of this thing by using this pavement condition index and trying to make sure we're, you know, there's some roads where at some point you just kind of let them go because they become kind of the stepchild, I guess, of the county roads, because it's going to cost too much to do them, and you let them get to the red stage before you actually, you know, try to get back and do anything with them. And we're trying to stay on top of things. We're doing a lot more seal coating, a lot more crack sealing than we've done in the past. You know, the kind
would
of,
that be County Road 55?
Oh, does Rantoul want County Road 55, Diane?
No, but it's got a lighter color than a couple of them that are getting seal coated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seal
yeah.
coating in a more of a metro or urban area tends to not come with you know,
priority.
Yeah. Well, not priority, but people kind of don't like it. You know,
yeah.
I don't know why. They seem to think that we're degrading the roads in the urbanized area if we seal coat them, whereas we're actually trying to help them. But now that one's got a lot of transverse cracks from the old
right.
concrete slab underneath, and seal coating doesn't really help that. But we're going to get that bridge done, though, the South Bridge.
I'm sorry, I just had to throw it in there.
You want a bridge, you want a road.
That's right. That's right.
I understand. I just want to get to the golf course.
I'm just kidding you.
There you go. So, you know, the next 3 or 4 pages there kind of just tell you how we go about assigning unit costs to these treatments. And there's a treatment matrix there that talks about, you know, when a truck is at a PCI rating of this and has deflections in this area, what the preferable fix is on those roadways. And that's what we use to make determinations on what we're going to do next on a road. You'll see the five-year plan there on page 7. County Road 22 in 2013. Dewey-Fisher Road in 2014. The Dewey-Elliott Road in 2015. Part of County Highway 15, which is the 5-mile stretch between U.S. 45 and Philo and 16. And then County Roads 12 and 24 out in 2017. And those may or may not stay in that exact order for the next 5 years, but right now that's what we're projecting through this treatment matrix. And you'll see on the next page kind of the costs that are associated with those construction and maintenance projects that we're projecting out over the next 5 years. You'll see we're not only projecting what we have to do to rehab a road, but we're also projecting out what we need to do for crack sealing and chip sealing and those kind of things so that we know in the future what we need to budget for as far as oil and rock and crack sealing material and those types of items, as well as the bigger construction projects. In table 3 there on the bottom of page 8 shows our projected expenditures. About $1.9 million this year. Next year is a huge year, but a goodly majority of that comes from federal money, highway safety improvement money, and TARP money, which is truck access money. But that's going to be a big project. That's all for that County Road 1 project.
That's where you're going to see if they get that job, Bill, and get that money.
That would help.
We'll be all right.
CR 25. Is that the road that runs along 50?
That's Staley Road.
Staley Road?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's not listed as yellow. Or am I missing it?
It is listed as yellow in the map.
But is it becoming a stepchild? Is it listed as being, have anything done to it?
Honestly, it's got a lot of surface problems, but it doesn't have any deep problems. It's got a lot of cracking and so forth, and it's very...
It's doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
I wonder if you get a lot of travel with people coming from Monticello.
It definitely does get a lot of travel. We just have it up to Curtis Road, and then the city has it from there all the way through to U.S. 150. And what do we have? Yeah, that wasn't shown in any of our treatments in the near future. We may, you know, like I said, those things, it's not on this year's list for sure, but this detailed work activity tends to kind of ebb and flow through the years as we, you know, roads become worse or better and we find out what our money situation is. In 2015, 16, and 17, you know, $2.4 million is pretty much our entire motor fuel tax revenue that we get in. So we're right at, and Mr. J, this is good for you because now you can say we shouldn't be spending money on the fringe roads. We're showing that we should be spending it all here on our county roads.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So you've got some fuel there for the fire to show.
Like I need it.
So, and then that's in a map. Where those different activities are shown there in a map from 2013 through 2017 on page 9. And then you'll see on page 10 where our projected PCI values are over the next 10 years. We're staying right at about that 70 mark, which is where we're trying to stay at. And we come down a little bit below it there in 16, and we start to build back up and may just be slightly above it in 2022. So if we can continue to keep our transportation funding at least at the level that it's at, we feel like we're going to be able to maintain that PCI of 70 on the roadways. Now, that doesn't make the roads drain any better, doesn't give us better shoulders, doesn't give us better intersection, doesn't give us better safety on our roadways. It just basically keeps the top of the roadway in decent condition. You know, I would equate it to putting new shingles on top of your roof. You know, we're not going to be able to get down and put a whole new roof in and make it look all nice and put dimensional shingles on it. We're going to get the 25-year shingles from Menards and keep putting them on top of the roads at this funding level that we're at right now. So
it looks like you're dropping the funding level off to get to 15 just to kind of maintain. Is that what you're doing?
What's that?
As you said, you drop off the PCI until 16, and then you start coming up.
And that's
because of
due
budget
to
issues in the
right. And it just, you know, if you do a seal coat, maintenance doesn't really bring your PCI up. It just kind of tends to maintain it. Whereas a rebuild of a roadway, you know, if you have a road that goes from a 30 up to a 90, that's going to see, you know, a pretty good jump in your overall PCI. So I think what we're seeing there in that 2016 is that County Road 23, which is horrible. The Dewey to Elliott Road, it's due to be constructed in 15, so then your PCI starts to come back up after that roadway kind of gets off of the bad area. So you're seeing a jump there.
The change of the money is in there. It's just because the road has to be completely changed.
Right. Yep. So, I mean, this, like I said, this is a great tool. These guys have been wonderful to work with. As a matter of fact, we're working with them right now to do a sign assessment out on all of our roadways to make sure we're keeping our 10,000 plus signs in good condition out there for everybody. But as you know, and I know, even at 40 some years old, your eyes don't work so good at night anymore. And we're making sure we're keeping those signs retro-reflective out there so that people can see the stop signs and the no-passing signs. And we've been working with them to put together. We've actually just got back a tablet from them, kind of a night. It's almost like your tablet that you had there, a little bit smaller, where we go out, we're taking pictures of every sign, we're doing an assessment of every sign, we're getting a GPS coordinate of every sign right on that tablet and downloading it into a big database, and then we're going to track when that sign goes into service, when it comes out of service, when it's replaced, if it gets hit, if it gets shot, whatever, just to make sure we're keeping track of our sign inventory and keeping up on it and being able to budget appropriately for that, too.
Is there any new technologies, materials?
Over the last, say, 10 years, the technology's come a long way in the sheeting of the signs that make them a lot more retro-reflective, where the light is really being bounced back into your eyes better through, you know, the different prisms that they put, prismatic kind of detail they put into the signs. The only issue with that is whenever you get that much fine detail into a sign, if it gets scratched, it automatically, you know, you see that scratch and it starts to lose its reflectivity real quick, whereas the old signs were a lot more durable, but they didn't reflect as well. Now we're getting, you know, so hopefully they can take that technology where the signs aren't quite as durable as they used to be, but more reflective and take that reflectivity and start making it more durable. I don't know when that's coming.
Have you assigned like an age for signs?
About 10 to 12 years they're done is typically how long they last. Sometimes a south-facing sign will not last as long as a north-facing sign simply because the sun bleaches them out over time. But it's about a 10 to 12-year life. So, you know, we're looking at replacing, you know, 1,000 signs a year if we stay on the cycle and have a 10-year life of a sign. Plus all the ones that get knocked down and shot, and you can probably throw an extra couple hundred a year into that pool, or stolen, or whatever happens to them. People like to hang them on their dorm rooms walls. So,
you say John Jay, is that why?
No, he used to use it to patch up the rat holes in the grain bins.
Any questions on that pavement management report?
No.
All right.
I trust the guy if I have one.
All right. So the addendum isn't really anything. Well, should we move to the addendum instead of going to the items to be placed on the consent agenda? Or what do you want to? You want to stay in that? The addendum has nothing to do with anything that's going to go to the county board. It's just a discussion item of funding. So.
Okay, so what we got to go on? Everything gone to the consent agenda down here.
Well, there's really only, the resolution is the only thing that's going to go to the board, item number seven. And that was passed unanimously, so that can go on the consent agenda. And then...
That's the consent agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to go to the...
How about closed minutes?
You want to do the closed minutes?
Yeah, let's do the closed minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Thanks, sir.
Mm-hmm. You want a copy of those?
No.
Actually, they told me not to give them to anybody, so because they still have names on them. If I give them to anybody, I got supposed to mark all the names and stuff out. Can we go to the addendum?
Addendum.
Yeah. Max asked me to just put an item on the agenda to talk about funding, not only in my thought process, funding for District 5. But also I wanted to talk just a little bit about funding of local roads. But the big 11 by 17 sheet that is passed out, this is a table that was put together by the city of Champaign, right?
Yes.
For Champaign County First. And it's very up to date, March 28, 2013, which shows funding levels across the state by district. And when we're talking District 5, that's the district that Champaign County is in. There's seven counties in District 5. You got McLean and Champaign and Vermilion and Payette, Douglas, Edgar, and what's Clinton in? DeWitt County. So we got seven counties in our district. And you'll see that no matter which table you look at on this sheet, where they whether they sort them by dollars per mile or dollars per million miles traveled or dollars per bridge or dollars per capita, District 5 is significantly underfunded as compared to other districts. And if you talk to the IDOT people at District 5 in Paris, you know, they don't have any reason. All they say is, well, We do with the money what we get, you know.
Somebody pissed somebody in Springfield off once upon a time.
Well, yeah, and it's, significant.
I mean,
you know,
comparatively, if you look at District 4, basically similar number of bridges, similar number of miles, and maybe only that's 300, so 300 more miles than...
Yeah.
Than us, but they're, you know, they're nearly three times.
Yep.
The amount. So the upshot of that was the press called me and was they were all rosy about the fact that Champaign County was getting $10 million to, and that was simply just repair work that was taking place on 57. And but they, I mean, the tough thing about the press is they start with the end of the story in mind and try to get you to fit into their box. And so that was kind of just seeing what was happening. And I got this information, and I go, well, it's really, nobody seems to really have that rosy a picture when you look at the matrix of how it states. And so my thought is if there's a way we could build a consortium of District 5 to really make it the state aware that we're not getting what we need to be getting from the state. I mean, not asking
more
for
I mean, you need more balance.
Yeah, that you know the reporter says, well, you need to raise the tax. I go, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we as
get our share.
The district
yeah,
are not getting what is being distributed throughout the rest of the state.
Right.
So I'm just bringing that as awareness.
Now, this is IDOT money. This doesn't have anything to do with locals. This sheet that you're looking at right now, this is strictly state IDOT-funded projects. The locals, I'll talk about in a minute, but that's what this is.
This is not even
close.
Nominally apportioned by number of registered vehicles or not? This is just...
Well, per capita is pretty much the same as registered vehicles.
So they're just jobbers.
Pretty much. And it's all smoke and mirrors, Chris, if you call Springfield and ask them why District 5 is getting less than everybody else. Nobody gives you a straight answer. You call the head, not the, the regional engineer at District 5 or Region 3, but the guys below him, they'll just tell you, you know, we get what we get and we do the best with it, you know, what we get. But whether they have answers or not and they're just not telling us, local guys, I don't know. But it's, and this isn't anything new. This has been ongoing ever since District 5. When did they redistrict, Coop? 5 years ago? Ever since they redistrict, District 5 just went right in the tank as far as funding goes. I mean, and we've got Bloomington and Champaign and Danville. Those are some pretty big downstate communities.
You know? I'm just curious, maybe if we could get this in front of Mike Ferris and just show him that this is...
I'm going to Springfield Wednesday.
This is what, you know, what his district is,
right,
is receiving from the state.
Actually, Mike is going to be here Monday morning because all the county engineers are meeting with our state senators about local roads funding. And I was going to bring this to his attention kind of at the end of that conversation when we were having lunch and show him, because I don't think any of the legislators really have any clue that we're getting this severely underfunded.
All of this is in that work bill. Everything's on this sheet, even high-speed rail. But you got to get them to pass the bill. That's
even
the
if they pass it, Lloyd, this is the percentage of the money we're going to get.
Huh?
Even if they pass it, we're still going to get a lowly percentage of the money. I mean, look at the...
Well, I had a sheet. I'm going to look on that sheet.
Well, you look at it and compare,
yeah,
it,
I'm gonna
compare it to
right.
other
I'm
communities and other
it,
districts.
Right.
And you'll see we're at the bottom of the list.
Well, how come we got set?
Don't know.
Yeah, we're 50% of the next one to us.
Right.
I mean, the only thing I can think of that would make our district legitimately a little bit lower is we don't have any river bridges. And a lot of the districts in the state do, right? We really don't have any rivers in
right.
this area because we're top of the watershed.
We're going to sit down.
So, I mean, we don't have any, you know, $100 million river bridge replacement.
But still,
it seems.
Yeah. I mean, they could. I'm sure you could figure out square footage of bridge deck, and I think you'd still have a similar type of answer that comes out of that.
All well, we go notice that these other ones have some big project, but again, I mean, you're talking about 176 million compared to 700 million for District 8.
Yeah, and this doesn't—you notice they don't even include District 1 because that number is just—that's
Chicago, right?
Yeah, that's they get every—you know—we get half and they get half or whatever. The whole downstate probably gets less than Chicago does. You know, so this is just.
Freeways. I mean, that's at least somewhat justified.
But, I mean, they got a lot of toll roads up there, too,
that
pay, you know, pay their own way.
Well, they got a lot of revenue up there, too. You just look at the automobiles.
Right.
Well, I just think that's probably on the right path is if you sit down with Mike and say, take this back to Springfield and, you know, this is what the facts are.
Well, what was Champaign County first intent? What were they going to use this for? Do you know?
Oh, no, the only reason I got a hold of this was... I just wanted some feedback, or I wanted some background information, because the press, I put them off to come back in the afternoon, and I just wanted to have something that was factual that I could refer to. Tough thing is, the facts that I put on the table...
Didn't make
it. Didn't go anywhere.
It ended up on the cutting room floor, didn't it?
Well, News Gazette ran an article on this within the last year. About the fact that this district receives significantly less funding. But they didn't, looking at this, I don't think they got the point across enough. I mean, I got the impression we were last. I didn't get the impression that we were last and getting a third as much money as these other
districts. Yeah, it's woeful. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, everybody says, well, nobody's driving as much as they used to, and cars are getting better gas mileage, and blah, 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 blah. Well, the reality of it is, if you look at the charts of the revenues that are coming in to the fund that funds this stuff, it's going up. The revenues are going up.
Right.
But the money that we're getting back is going down.
Going down.
And it's happening at the state level, local level.
Well,
there's 22% of the money that goes into the revenue from motor vehicle registrations, motor fuel tax, driver's licenses, all that. 22% of it goes somewhere else. Doesn't even go into roads. We don't know where it goes. It goes to fund a school here and a library there or whatever, you know, they're trying to fund. But it used to be you put money into the formula, you know, you fill up your tank with gas and the money comes back into the roads. And now it goes everywhere else.
And Jeff, this is just highway funding.
This is just highway funding.
That needs to stop.
No airports, no rail projects, no crossing fund, no nothing, just roads.
Yeah, this is just road projects.
That's just like the lottery money that's supposed to be for the school. You
right.
find it.
Well, it's...
You can't get an answer from nobody.
Well, a lot of money all goes to schools. They just took the money they were spending on the schools and kept that.
Exactly.
Which is kind of...
Exactly. They just ciphered off.
Is this district contiguous to the county?
You cannot find that money. They won't tell you where it's at.
Mostly county organizations, or how would you build this consortium?
Well, I think the counties that are, that make up District 5.
Yeah, I mean, the county.
Is counties.
Our county engineers meet bimonthly as a group, but we're not the political,
we don't have the political will.
The
county board members or something like that would have to.
Yeah, that's what I would think. And maybe there's a way to build a transportation committee of.
Highway committee members.
District 5.
You had to make a trip.
Board members.
Are the districts follow county boundaries?
Yes.
That's what I was trying to say, too.
Yeah, it's 7 counties.
Sorry.
It's kind of an odd-shaped district, but because it goes to Danville to Bloomington and then DeWitt down to Edgar.
I think maybe a direction to go is maybe if Al wouldn't mind, if you could kind of put together a little capsule, but with respect to Al, send him to those 7 counties,
mm-hmm.
saying that, you know, include this chart and say, are you aware this is what our district looks like?
Let's send it to Al and leave you out of it so you don't have to deal with IDOT coming back down on you.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Ask Al to send a letter to the other 6 counties.
Yeah.
Other 6 county board chairs and say, guys.
Yeah, just so that, I mean, just for awareness and find out what other counties are thinking.
Money.
Because, I mean, we might, as a unit, be able to, trim a little bit of that from elsewhere and bring it back to District 5.
Right.
Well, how many counties do these other districts have?
I couldn't tell you, Lorraine, but you can see that the dollars per capita, I mean, that's dollars per person within those districts. We're at $335, mm-hmm. and the next county is at $735. So we're half of the next the next one in line there. I guess there's one at $656 down here, district. But...
I'm going to see if Al's supposed to be this thing.
He's been in the hospital from what we
know. I don't know because of that.
What for or why?
He's not going back in the office till Monday, I think, is what Deb said.
Pancreatitis or something?
Yes.
So, who's going to take this message to Al?
I mean, if you put this calculation together so he understands really what it's about.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that if you talk to Al, and I'd be happy to touch base with him next week and say
if I send him, just
you want to put this on the agenda for the guy working
here? I think it's probably just best to talk to Al.
Letting you do.
Because as a county board, we don't really have any jurisdiction.
This is going to come down to just arm twisting legislators.
Yeah, well, you would think our legislators would go to bat.
That's what I mean.
You know, they'd have to twist arms with other people. But
I think if Mike is aware.
But I think somebody needs to dig into how this money is actually doled out.
Yeah.
Because
I think that's the job for you.
Not me.
No.
No.
And who actually makes it?
Hey, is your chairman right here?
Is it IDOT?
Oh, yeah.
Is it in the walls of IDOT?
I can't tell you if it's IDOT or if it's legislative, Chris. I don't know. Nobody will really
Well, we'll
tell
find
you.
Out.
Nobody will. That's...
We'll find out.
Yeah, we got to find out legislators on the Transportation Committee, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Get some information. One of ours has got to be.
I would think one of
Well,
them.
Apparently one of ours isn't, or we wouldn't be
missing the meeting.
Maybe that's the problem.
Okay.
Yeah, you call me and we get that chart to go over and compare it. Then go to Springfield if we have to.
There you go.
Yeah, but I think as Champaign County, we don't have any voice. That's why you really need those other six to, you know, to kind of find, first of all, find out what their thoughts are. I mean, if they say, well, it's not important to us, well, then, you know, then we're not, it's not going to go anywhere. But
I used to have that book, and I don't forget what I've done with it.
Well, how do you split the money up between the other six?
The state manual.
Well, this is just IDOT money, and IDOT has their program. So it has absolutely nothing to do with Champaign County, Vermilion, and McLean saying we need this, that, or the other thing. They've got, just like I gave you a five-year program, they have a five-year program. Now, I would imagine, well, you've seen how much work's gone on in Bloomington over the last so many years. I mean, they tend to get a lot of money out there compared to what, but I'm sure Danville would say Champaign gets a lot of money. So, you know, but... The contractors in this area, and maybe that's some you know, like a Joe Lamb or Hugh, or somebody with Mack Construction. I mean, they have had these conversations with the legislators. They may actually have some more background information than I have. And maybe there's a way to build not only from your side, the government side, but from the private side, build some kind of relationship there and take the message, because they're hurting.
That's a good idea.
Champaign Asphalt or Open Road, whatever you want to call them, they're laying off people left and right. They're not even talking about firing up their asphalt plant till May now, because there's so little work out there. And usually by now, it's hot and they're making asphalt. So that may not be a bad way to go.
Well, we help you fix it.
It'd be a good idea. And if, like you said, if you can go across counties, because I know this Champaign County first and through the, whether it's through the Economic Development Commission or whether it's through the Chamber of Commerce, there's a group there. I don't know who on the county board sits in on that, if it's Al or...
Well, we haven't been pushing things, I think.
Yeah.
Are you the liaison, Max?
That's the problem.
No, I'm with the convention this year. The chamber, but
we've been a little bit too quiet.
Pushenberry's on the environmental economic development commission board. I'm not on the chamber of commerce, or sorry, the chamber of commerce tech committee, which isn't really related to this, but I think next meeting I can ask around.
Yeah.
As far as who at the chamber would be, could be a potential point.
Well, I'm on governmental affairs.
Generates more economic impact for all of our counties too. That's another. $300,000.
Yeah, the five-year plan budget's $176,000 for over 5 years. This year, it's only $10-15 million in the whole District 5. It's really lowly.
And where did these? Do we trust these numbers? Where these numbers actually come from?
Got it from the city.
City of Champaign.
City of Champaign.
I think they're pretty trustworthy.
So they put this together. City of Champaign put these numbers together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Roland, along with Bruce Knight and maybe Dennis Schmidt, I mean, their group put them together.
Roland was in the paper today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Obviously, I need some support and help.
Right. Jeff, when you get a chance, could you send that to me via email?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You were so quiet, we almost missed you there, Diane.
I know, it's unusual, isn't it, boys?
All right. The only thing I have under other business is one of our maintenance workers, I can't really say retired because he wasn't very old, Brian Lushen, who's been working for us for 10, 12 years, left because his father's getting out of the farming business and he's going to take over the farming operation. And he's also got a little contracting operation that he does. So we're going to be looking at replacing him. We've lost two maintenance employees over the last 4 years where we haven't replaced them, just trying to kind of downsize and get to an appropriate staff level. But this one we definitely need to replace. So we'll be going through the whole, union process and asking for applications through the new AppliTrack program. We usually get literally 100 or more applications when we have a job like this. So it might take us a little while to fill it, but we're definitely going to be pursuing trying to get that position filled.
Do you keep the application or you just store them after you fill the position?
Well, now that they're online, I'm not sure exactly how long they're kept online or I don't know how that
Who
works.
Who put them online?
Huh?
Who put them online? For?
Well, Deb got it going, but it's HR, Human Resources. Amanda is the one that started all that.
Human Relations Office.
Huh?
Human Relations Office.
Yeah, Amanda Tucker. Yeah. Yeah,
Human Resources.
Huh?
Human Resources.
Yeah. We don't even, I don't even think we have paper applications anymore, do we, Linda?
No.
It's all online, so. But we'll be putting out that announcement soon.
Good luck with him and farming. Oh, my gosh.
I think they got enough acres up there to make it a go.
Where's that there?
I think he's up in the Royal area, I believe.
That's high dollar.
It's high dollar ground?
Royal Gifford type.
Yeah. Yep. He's not getting $35,000 an acre, though.
Not everybody.
Well, he don't want to sell it if he's going to try to make a living off of it.
Diane, also that whole Warner tank is coming to a head, so we might want to talk about that in the near future if you get time.
And actually, if you want after the meeting, you can call me and we can talk about that too. But
okay, all right. I'll do that.
I'm afraid it is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What?
Oh, there's a fertilizer tank that's out on a township road, 750,000 gallons. That just, I don't, it's going through the ZBA, but it really was never approved through the ZBA, and it's there, and they're already putting fertilizer in it, and obviously the township's pretty wound up about it, because you're talking about multiple hundreds of trucks going across the township road now to this fertilizer tank.
He says it's for personal, but already supposedly there's a contract with a group up in Paxton. And then I guess they never realized that he also had that Kinsey dealership there forever and ever.
Yeah, that never got approval either.
Oops.
Correct.
Where is this?
Well,
Rantoul.
The unfortunate part about this is I'm related to both sides of that, which is really sad.
I thought you said something about that, yeah.
By marriage, not by blood.
Well, you know, Champaign County, for some reason, they don't coordinate the stuff with the right heads and stuff anymore. Everybody just go yum, yum, yum here and there. And they don't have no procedures, Diane, and that's bad. That's reading.
Yeah, I think they probably knew, but it's not like everybody goes up and down the rural roads every day.
Well, somebody should have been responsible. That's what I'm saying.
Well, if the landlord tries to get away with something, sometimes they're going to be able to get away with something.
The problem is it's two brothers, again. And the one lives in the homestead, which is right next to this property, that the other brothers do all the big farming and the other stuff with.
Yeah. Well, somebody in charge it would be better, baby. Then you know who to get.
The brother contesting has a fertilizer business in Gifford, Farmers Ag.
Shoot.
You gotta love it, don't you?
Yeah. North of Leverett and south of I-80.
Yep.
Dollar stickers and blood.
This is yep. Gone.
Okay, I'll call you after a while on that, Diane.
Okay, no.
That's all I have.
Yo, do I?
Okay, any other business?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Me.
Hi. Thank you, Ms. Cord.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay.